Not often I go to the Old Testament to preach, but the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So, in Genesis chapter 37, we're introduced to the story of Joseph. So I'm going to call this Lessons from the Life of Joseph. Now, the modern Judaism has an understanding that, or has this thought, this wrong thought, that there are two messiahs. The first one is a suffering messiah, and he's called Joseph ben David ben Joseph. David, the son of Joseph. And then there's the triumphant Messiah, who's David ben... Wait, okay, I mixed that up. But he's the son of David, right? And so, and why is that? Because in Genesis 37, we'll see that Joseph goes through much suffering. And they, obviously, they see the suffering in Isaiah 53. And so... Yeah, let's begin in Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Oh, Joseph was being a tattletale, basically. He was telling his father what they were doing wrong. Of course, this didn't make them happy. So we see that there's something going on here. And we know that God's plan for marriage was one husband, one wife for life. And we see the fruit of some of this from man's doing it his own way. And doing what he thought was right. There's a way that seems right to a man, the Bible says. And so Jacob had four wives. And we see that there's rivalry there. In fact, in the Old Testament, the name for the second wife is called the adversary, or the rival. It's just not a natural thing. God made it, didn't make it that way. God didn't design us that way, to share a love. Something so intimate that you share something like that. No, that's not God's way. And so we see the fruit of some of this coming out, that there's not this godly, pleasant home, right? A home full of love and mutual respect and honor for one another, and there's some rivalry going on here. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. There's another example of something not to do. You know, when the Bible talks about things, it doesn't always brings out this thing about what Jacob did. It's not condoning it. So there's something called prescriptive and descriptive in the Bible. So descriptive is what's happening here. God is just describing what happened. Prescriptive would mean that he's prescribing. He's telling us this is how it should be done. So this is an example of descriptive scripture here. So it doesn't say we should get, not being prescriptive, and that we should have four wives and that we should show favoritism towards one of our children and let everybody know that we love him the most and give him a special gift that nobody else has. And this isn't prescriptive. This is descriptive. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. And could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, was that true? They couldn't? I mean, not possible. It just wasn't possible for them to do it. Well, obviously, they were in the flesh. So, yeah, in that sense, it wasn't possible for them to do that. But that's what they did. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. He's like pouring fuel on the fire. And I don't know if I want to lay this to Joseph's charge or not, but... But it's descriptive. He told them a dream. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Obeisance means to bow down. So all these sheaves were bowing down to his sheaf, and he was standing upright, and they were all encircling him. Wow. What a blessing. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. You know, he could have kept quiet. And said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Wow. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. You know, in some sense, his father was definitely more spiritual than his sons, in that he thought, well, you know what, I'm going to remember this, and just, you know, God may be speaking. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now, of course, we live in modern times, but we don't understand that when you send somebody out to do something way far away, he had no communication at all. He didn't know what was going on. And I don't know how long it had been. It couldn't have been just a few days. It had to have been longer than a few days to send somebody out to check on them and how the flock's doing. It could have been months. So he sent him out the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when he saw him afar off, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it. Now remember, Reuben is the firstborn. He's the oldest. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might get rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother, and our flesh, and his brethren were content. You see, so here's another lesson we can learn, is that these brethren, they realized that they were hasty in their thought of revenge to slay him. And after a while, a little bit of time passed by that they reconsidered. So it's always good to take time to consider your decision. Don't be hasty. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Once again, we see someone who is sold for silver, just like our Lord. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. Obviously, Reuben wasn't even there to actually be in this council about what was going to happen. It's interesting, because if you didn't see that detail, you wouldn't know that. You would think, oh, they're all together, but I don't know, he went somewhere. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. Oh, how cruel. How cruel. A cruel lie. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down unto the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Okay, so now let's skip chapter 38 because it's about a different subject. I'm going to pick up with Joseph in chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. That is a very amazing statement there. So the Lord was with Joseph. So what was Joseph thinking at this time? After he had been stripped of his clothes and bound and sold and now is walking many miles down into Egypt, what is going to happen to me? Will I ever see my parents again? Will I ever see my brethren again? They hated me. Can you imagine what was going on in his heart? They were about to kill him. They probably heard talk of killing him. And now he's being led to Egypt. His brethren hate him. He may never see anybody again. And it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And all that he had, he put into his hand. He gave him authority, he gave him charge of his whole house, because he saw that the Lord was with him and prospered everything he did. It had to be very obvious to him, right? When Joseph did something, it always prospered, and he saw this. So, is that true of us? Can people see that what we're doing is prospering? That our life is showing that the Lord is with us? Verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Isn't that interesting? There's a principle, I think, there. The Lord blessed the Egyptian for Joseph's sake. God is rich in blessing. And so when he blessed Joseph, it overflowed to the Egyptian's house. That's pretty neat. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored, handsome young man. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not or doesn't know what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Wow. So he was very bold and just very logical, you know. God has committed all this into my hand, and you're his wife. I cannot do this. And one thing he did was he called it what it was. He called it wickedness. That probably didn't sit well with her. You know, probably didn't make her feel very good about herself. But she was still lusting after him and wouldn't quit. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day. Wow. Can you imagine? Day by day, he has to live with this temptation of this woman telling him, lie with me. Oh, this took a love for God and a hatred for sin. This took a cleaving to God. Because a young man, not married, in a house with a woman, day by day saying, come and lie with me. Wow. Joseph loved the Lord. He didn't want to sin against his God. Day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. See, now he did the wise thing, right? He didn't even want to be around her, which was the wise thing. Joseph was very wise. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him, within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. Why? Now she's feigning herself to be some kind of righteous woman. Isn't that amazing? You know, and that happens. It can happen to us. People who are liars tend to call other people liars. Have you ever experienced that? I have. People who are liars tend to cause people who love the truth. They tend to call them liars. And here we have this woman who, day by day, is trying to seduce Joseph. And I don't know about you, but it makes me think that maybe how many other times did this happen with other people in her house? We're not told that, but. So she laid up this garment by her until his Lord came home. Verse 17, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now, is that the worst thing that could have happened to him? I had to think, like, wow, can you imagine? This guy's pretty powerful, and he's just a servant. He could have killed him on the spot. But God was with him. God didn't allow that to happen. What could Joseph have done? Nothing, right? You try to do something with my wife, I'm going to kill you right now. But he didn't. Somehow, he thought prison was worse than death for Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. There it is again. The Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord is with us in our trial, in our times. Even though it may not seem like it. Even if we can't feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm not saying we don't ever feel the presence of the Lord when we're in a trial. I'm just saying it can happen. But the Lord is faithful. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And see, God is directing. It's a beautiful thing. Now, we're looking at this in hindsight, right? Hindsight is 20/20, and we know the end of the story, but we're seeing how God is doing this step by step. And that's the exciting thing, is that we're living a life right now that we don't know the end of. But we can say that the Lord is with us, and God is going to order our steps. Amen? And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Amazing. It seems as though when God is with us, that the people of the world recognize that we have authority. And that's the same way with Jesus. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, after he had and all these sayings, they noticed that he spake unto one, spake unto them as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. He had spiritual authority, and they recognized it. The keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. So, these people stand before the king, and obviously they've done something wrong, maybe said a bad word, said something wrong, or just somehow, you know, a king can do anything he wants. And somehow they did something wrong to offend them, the king, both of these people. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Isn't that interesting? Now let's take a look at Joseph's character here. Joseph cared about people. Joseph was concerned about them. Do you think that that's part of maybe why that the guard made him ruler over everybody in the prison? Because he actually cared, you know? It's so rare. This is a rare trait. This is a rare godly characteristic that someone would care about other people. You know, what is our natural tendency? It's we care about ourselves. It's all about us. But here Joseph cared about people. And he said, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Oh, someone that cares. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. So therefore, once again, he's not saying, I know dreams. I dream dreams all the time. He was giving glory to God and say, the one you need to look to is God. Tell me your dream. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner, when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Now, I don't know if you know anything about prophecy or anything, but birds always seem to have a bad connotation in the Bible. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Oof, that's bad news. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and gave the cup, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted it to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And this is something that Joseph had to deal with, right? And forgive. Because, you know, sometimes we can do something for people. We can, do a kindness to them or show them kindness. And they're not thankful. But that's okay. We leave that up to God. Chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, not just a little bit, but quite a few years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they were fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Now, this is something interesting because later on we see Joseph saying that God has given you this dream, and he was troubled. So God can move and work in a king's heart in a way that, you know, we can't. God does that. Let's never forget that. Even, and it doesn't just apply to kings, it could apply to police officers and governors and captains and mayors and all these people. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And here once again, Joseph has the opportunity to either glorify God or to glorify himself. And maybe he was thinking, boy, if I glorify myself, I'll be lifted up. Right? I'll get out of this prison, right? No, that wasn't what he did, though. He gave the glory to God. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. And this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay it up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? You know, one thing about it is that Joseph could have also said, now that I've told you this dream and God has given me this understanding, I want to tell you that you should appoint me over this whole work because God is with me and God is telling you this through me. You see, but Joseph didn't do that. He allowed God to exalt him. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the wife of On, the priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Isn't that interesting? We see a parallel here between Joseph being 30 years old when he began to reign. And we see also that David, when he was 30 years old, began to reign in Hebron also. We see that Jesus, when he was 30 years old, began his ministry to begin to reign. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. And I'm going to stop there for now, and maybe we'll continue this next week, but we can learn. Now, insight, I mentioned that we're looking at things in hindsight, we're looking at all this. But we can see that out of all things, like that scripture says in Romans, I believe, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God was using this thing that happened to him, this terrible thing where he was hated by his brethren, sold into slavery, sold into Egypt, then falsely accused, then staying in prison, and now finally lifted up. How else could a Hebrew slave be lifted up to become someone second to Pharaoh in Egypt? And this is God. And so God, and later on we'll see that Joseph himself says this. He says, God sent me ahead of you. What a way to be sent, huh? But God did it. This is God's ways. God's ways are higher than our ways, and we can't say, what are you doing to God, right? So let's think about how we can and how we should trust the Lord to lead us, to lead our futures, to place them in his hands, and to just trust him.